story, which I find tremendously encouraging, because when you think about it, probably all of us have experienced occasions in our lives where we had high hopes about something, we had some dreams about something coming, we would look forward to it for years possibly, and then when the time comes, it kind of all falls apart, or the reality is disappointing. It's not what we had expected, it's not what we had geared ourselves up for and hoped for. And so we struggle with that sense of loss and that sense of disappointment and being let down possibly. And I want you to think about that for a minute as we come to this passage this morning and reflect on it. If you felt that way, if you've had that kind of experience where you felt like, your dream's been shattered and you're disappointed and you're discouraged and you're kind of moping around, and maybe you grab a couple of friends and you want to talk about what's happened and how disappointed you are about how all of this has turned out. Imagine if someone, as you're in the middle of this conversation and you're complaining and talking about how things just, it's just so disappointing. I'm just so discouraged about this. Someone comes along and sits down as you're having coffee together with your friend and begins to talk about this same situation and begins to show you an angle on that thing that's very different from the way you're seeing it. And as this person talks about this situation that a moment before was so discouraging, I was maybe absolutely devastating to you because your hopes seemed to be crushed, he or she begins to look at that and say, well, there's a different way of looking at this situation, of this loss or this disappointment. And as he or she does that, your eyes begin to be open. You say, okay, yeah, I had actually never seen it. I'd hoped for things to go this way and they haven't, but they've gone a different direction, but I can now see that there's actually something very good about this. And you needed someone else's perspective, someone with different eyes, right, to look at the situation and say, actually, there really is something good in all of this that maybe you're missing. And so in this story, it's really set after the crucifixion. It says that 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, a lot has happened in Jerusalem, right? And it talks about how really it seems like Jerusalem wasn't that big of a city at the time. It wasn't a mega city. It wasn't that huge. So everyone in the whole city probably knew exactly what had happened. And so we read at the beginning, at verse 25, that there were two of Jesus' disciples, and they're walking along a road from Jerusalem to a little place called Emmaus. Probably not a very significant place. We're not even quite sure where it is. About 7 miles they were walking, probably the longest 7 miles they'd ever walked in their lives. They had had their hopes crushed. They were discouraged and despondent. They're walking along that road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, maybe going home, talking about what had all happened in the last few days. And they're very despondent, probably their eyes cast down on the ground, talking about all of their hopes and dreams and how they'd all been dashed. And on top of all of that, not only were they just dejected and disappointed and their hopes had been crushed, but there were some rumors going around. Some of the women had come back to them and said, we went to the tomb where Jesus was to be buried, and we found that he wasn't there. The body wasn't there. And they had this wild story about these angels, an angel who had talked to them and told them that he's not there. Not because somebody stole the body, but because he's actually risen. And you can tell as they talk about this and they're disturbed about it, along with their discouragement, and there's this story flying around that they're not sure really. It sounds just so far out, right? They can't quite grasp it or believe it. And so that doesn't really help. And then it talks about how a man joins them as they're walking along. And just kind of comes alongside them and listening to what they're saying. And he asks the question, what are you talking about? And they kind of look at him like, are you the only person? And, do you live under a rock or something? Have you not heard? Everybody in Jerusalem knows exactly what's happened with Jesus. Everybody was talking, all the coffee shops over lunch and coffee, everyone was talking about it all the time since the crucifixion. He said, are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? And so he asks them, what is this about? And so they tell him, if you start in verse 19, it says this. This is what they're talking about. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. You can just kind of hear and feel the disappointment and the loss in their voices. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then the stranger who walked along that road to Emmaus says to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then he goes on and he takes the scriptures and he begins to unpack them for them. From Moses, right at the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament we call it, through the prophets, right to the end, and he begins to unpack it all and show them from the scriptures which they had grown up with, knew, they're very familiar with them, probably memorized large sections of it. All their lives they had seen these scriptures, they had read them, they knew them, but they had never really understood them. And so this man begins to open it up for them and to see how from the very beginning of these scriptures in the Old Testament right through to the present day, they were showing them this person, Jesus. It was all about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's all about Jesus. And so they begin, it's like, you know, I don't like jigsaw puzzles. They really frustrate me. But some people like them, I hear. And so, but it's like if you have a big table and you've got all of the pieces of the puzzle scattered out on the table and you don't know how they fit, right? That's how they were, right? They had all the pieces. They knew all the stories, but they weren't quite sure how to connect any of them. They had pieces of the picture, but they didn't have the big picture, how it all fit together. And so as Jesus talks about, I just gave it away, it's actually Jesus, right? It's not just a stranger. But as he talks about these stories in the Old Testament, the puzzle pieces start to come together, right? And they start to form a picture that makes sense to them. And, you know, you can just see the light bulb starting to come on. They talk about this experience a little later as they're, you know, discussing this after Jesus goes away. They said, you know, there was something happening in our hearts as he talked about this. There was a burning. You know, there was a warmth that was happening. This was more than what we'd ever heard or read before. You know, we've heard these scriptures before, but it just didn't do anything for us. We knew it up in our heads, but we didn't know it in our hearts. And so as Jesus unpacked it all, as the pieces of the puzzle came together and they saw the picture of what this was all about Jesus, their heart began to warm. In fact, they say our hearts burned within us. And I think that's what we need to do too. You know, we read the scriptures on Sunday and hopefully you read the scriptures through the week as well. You've heard the stories, but sometimes you can just read them and it doesn't impact you at all. It doesn't change your life at all. It doesn't warm your heart at all. It doesn't affect you. And we can talk about it year after year after year. We can celebrate communion year after year, read the scriptures, but it doesn't impact your heart. And what God wants to do in your life and in my life is to warm our hearts. You know, he doesn't want us to have hearts that are cold toward him or lukewarm. He wants us to have hearts that burn. When we read the scriptures or we have them read to us, that we see Jesus in a new way. Whether it's something from the book of Genesis right in the very beginning of the Bible or from Revelation, from beginning to end, it is all about Jesus and it all points to him. And so our hearts need to be warmed up. Imagine if you were able to walk with those two people alongside Jesus on that road to Emmaus and hear him unpack the scriptures from Moses and the prophets and all the way through and say, this is about me. This is about me. This is all pointing to me. And then it tells us that he was about to leave. You know, they were going to part company, or it looked like he was going to go somewhere else. Getting late in the day. They're getting hungry. They needed to eat a meal together. So they encourage him to stay and to eat with them. And he becomes the host in that home and serves them the food. And he takes some bread and he breaks it and he begins to pass the bread around. And it says that at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Up until that point, they hadn't recognized who was talking to them. But at that very moment of taking that loaf of bread or that bread and breaking it, passing it around to them, their eyes were opened. Now, maybe there was that connection. They remember that time when he spent with his disciples not that long before, where he broke bread and he said, "This is my body that's broken for you." And they shared the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And so maybe that twigged something and they remembered that occurrence. But I think there's something of a sort of a spiritual enlightenment that oftentimes we can't see because our eyes aren't open. Our spiritual eyes aren't aware of what's going on. And so someone can talk to you about these things until you're blue in the face and yet you don't see it. It's right in front of you. Jesus is right beside you. He's as near as the air that you breathe, and yet you can't see him and you can't understand what you're hearing and seeing. And it takes Jesus opening up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to see the truth. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that talks about the God of this world has blinded the eyes or blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they can't see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's a spiritual blindness that Jesus needs to cure in your life and my life if we're going to see him for who he is. And it's amazing to me that it was in the act of breaking that bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they talk about that later, and he said the way that Jesus revealed himself, that was he was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And so every time we break the bread, in a sense, every time we share this bread and this cup, it can be for you and for me a way, a fresh opening of our eyes, a fresh warming of our hearts, so that we see Jesus in a new way and we experience his word with a new freshness, a new life and new vitality. That's the invitation that Jesus gives you this morning. He invites you to come. And in that bread broken, which represents the body of Christ broken on the cross for you, for your sins, and in that cup, it represents the blood of Christ, his blood shed on the cross for you and for me. There's an invitation to come and to know him in a new way. Now, it's interesting that that little phrase, their eyes were opened. When he broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. There's so many connections in the scripture as you begin to see. You go right back to the very beginning. There's an ancient story right back in the very beginning, chapter 3 of Genesis. And it talks about two people called Adam and Eve who, when they sinned, when they rebelled against God, their eyes were opened. Very same words as these words. Their eyes were opened. Now, the consequences of that opening of eyes are very different than the consequences of this opening of eyes. The consequences of that one, it's an ancient curse. It goes right back to the beginning, is death and sin and bondage and all of that that goes along with it. You see, when we open our eyes, when God opens our eyes, that is, and we see him for the first time, we can begin to recognize that all of that has been reversed. It's all been changed. Through Christ, there's something new. God has made the way that death is destroyed, sin has been triumphed over through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus. So every time you take the bread and every time you take the cup, you again remember Christ, his sacrifice and his resurrection, and you remember that for you he died on the cross and for you he rose again, and the result of that is that death no longer holds power over us, sin no longer holds power over us if we trust in Christ as our Savior. There's a lot wrapped up in those little words. As those disciples go back and they retrace their steps, you know, they're going home, defeated and discouraged and downcast, their hopes crushed, they turn around and they go back to Jerusalem where all of it happened, and they meet with their friends, the other followers of Christ, and they tell them what happened. And they tell them the good news that Jesus Christ is not just a story, not just a bunch of women cooking up something, right? Sorry. But, you know, that would have been how they might have felt. You know, it's just the women. Oh, you know, they're just, it's just them again, you know. But no, this is true. Jesus is alive. He lives forever. We've seen him. He's spoken to us. He's opened up the scriptures for us. And so these disciples are absolutely transformed. They're changed people. And they never will be the same again. Their eyes have been opened. Their hearts have been warmed. And so this morning, that's my hope and that's my prayer for myself and for you, that we will in a fresh way have our eyes opened to the reality of Jesus Christ with us and in us, and to the truth of his word, and we will be transformed by it.